Hello, I am Nadine, the voice of the ENCast intro. We would love your feedback on ENCast Weekly Neurology. Please help us to learn more about you, our listeners, and plan the future of ENCast by taking our short survey. If you do, you can enter a prize draw for the chance to win free registration for the EAN Congress 2025 in Helsinki. The survey will be online until the end of December 2024. Just look for the link in the episode description. And now, we hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to EANcast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello and welcome to EANcast, Weekly Neurology. My name is Anja Sander and I am Executive Director of the European Academy of Neurology. In today's episode, we will talk about the EAN Leadership Program. And my guests today are two participants who are the patient zero of the current program. That is the first round of this program. And they are Peter Dedeiken from Belgium and Vanessa Carvalho from Portugal. I welcome you and thank you for joining today. And I look forward to hearing from you now how you received the program, and I kindly invite Peter and Vanessa to quickly introduce themselves to our guests, please. Peter.
Hi, everyone. I'm a clinical neurologist and head of the neurology department in a regional hospital in Belgium. I'm also affiliated with 4Brain, which is a division of Ghent University, where I drive epilepsy research in Rwanda, a sub-Saharan African country.
Thank you, Peter. And Vanessa, you too, please.
Hi, I'm Vanessa. I'm a neurologist from currently based in Lisbon, in Portugal. I'm also a PhD student doing research in movement disorders. And I was for 5 years an officer of the resident and research fellow section of the EAN.
Sure, and this is also where we know each other from and why you probably also know that it has been always, or for a very long time actually, a priority of the EAN board to set up this program. Then 2 years ago, the planning of the program really started, and it was Katrin Jelen, one of my colleagues here, and Katharina, one of our expert coaches, who started to organize and plan the program. And then, of course, also we had a lot of input from our committees, and especially Irina Rektorova from the Education Committee then, and also of your RFS colleagues to really set up this program. And then at the same time, your group, Vanessa, the RFS, did also the burnout study and a survey on burnout among young neurologists. And there it could be shown that burnout is really a topic within neurologists and especially young neurologists. And so I think it's important to have really good leadership skills, first of all, to prevent this burnout and among neurologists, and also to not only to be a good leader and avoid this possible burnout within your team, but also to lead yourself and to make sure that you have a good work life. And so I think this was one of the main goals also of this leadership program, to make this possible for our future neurologists. And so this is a bit about how the program was started and why it was started, and also why I think it's very important. But I would like to know from you if you feel that these goals are met by the program, as you are now our patient zero, you should tell us if this is something that you feel is working. So perhaps you can tell us a bit, or our listeners a bit, about that. Don't know who of you would like to start.
So from my perspective, I'm very satisfied with the program, as right now, early in the second year of it, it has already resulted in a change in how I do things. One of the first things, and you've referred to this in terms of burnout, is the impact on myself. Part of the courses focuses on knowing yourself. What is your leadership style? What's your preference? What are your weaknesses? What are your strengths? And it also addresses self-management. And after this course, I found myself really overextended in terms of all the work that I had been taking on. So I decided not to do less, but to do things differently. Also for my own health, trying to remain healthy and changing a little bit my lifestyle in terms of sleep and sleep health. But the work that I did was I changed the way that I was leading my fellow colleagues here in the hospital, trying to move away from doing things, the little nitty things all day, but focusing more on the goals and also empowering them, putting more trust in them and focusing on the result that they want to achieve, that we want to achieve as a team, which actually works very well. And the last example of this is during a teaching course for residents on neurology in Rwanda, I changed my approach in leading them during an assignment from my usual approach. And actually, I was very, very pleased with the great results that it resulted from. So seeing impact already now.
That's great. I'm really happy to hear. And you mentioned sleep and sleep health, which is also one important topic for our brain health. And this is a bit the idea also to get to have many, many brain healthy workplace neurology departments by having good leaders, trained leaders in the future in neurology. Can I quickly just ask you, you said you are now empowering your colleagues more, or your team, just quickly how you would empower them in a different way than before?
Before, I was assigned to be the head of neurology, thinking that I had to do everything and the little things every day in and out. Whereas now I'm turning towards actually agreeing with them on how we want to achieve a certain goal and where we want to be at the end of the year, which is very tangible. We say this and this we want to achieve. And let me know if there are any problems. These may be your context to start from. And this is the outcome that we want to achieve. And meanwhile, we build in some touch points where we actually go over where are we now? Is there additional things that have come up, barriers and or opportunities? And we move forward.
That's great. So it's a we approach now more than you have to do everything. That's great. Yeah, Vanessa.
Well, I actually have some quite similar experience. I think the course is very comprehensive, and that's one of the reasons I applied. And besides the communication skills and the conflict management, I think the thing that changed more the way I behave and the way I lead myself, because you also need to lead yourself also in order to lead others, was the self-reflection component. So we started, like Peter said, and I don't want to repeat him too much, but we started to thinking about our own leadership style, which also makes you think about the flaws you might have and where you can improve as to be a more effective leader. And for instance, I used to be a very active person, and like Peter, I used to take it all on myself, and now I tend to delegate more, to compromise. For instance, when I'm leading residents on a small project, I tend to delegate more to empower them. Of course, I'm always there to help, but I try to trust more people to be a more effective leader and also allow them to grow. And I feel probably this was something that I didn't do so much in the past. And also your purpose, right? Because we learn to self-reflect on your vision and your purpose in leadership, which was something that I wasn't used to do so often. contrarily to Peter, right now I am taking on less projects and I'm focusing myself more on these projects, on doing them better, and also focusing a bit more on myself. For instance, I woke up at 6 to do exercise in the morning before I come to work. And this was something that didn't happen before because I was so absorbed with a lot of tasks that in the end would not fit the purpose and the vision I have for myself and for the projects I am currently either leading or being part of.
That's great. So thank you. So it's you do the same program, but you still approach it in it from different points, which I really like. And also Vanessa now is doing something for her brain health because she's now doing exercises in the morning. So that's also really, I think that's really, really great. Vanessa, as you said, you managed to take on less projects, but still this program is also a big task, I think. And as we also want to inform a bit people who might want to join the program in the future, Peter, you might want to quickly explain how you manage to do this leadership program, which I assume is a lot of work next to all the other projects that you do.
Well, actually, I find the course very well designed and thought through in terms of balancing work life and additional workload. It's a module-based course, and each module is one full day. Of all the modules, there are three face-to-face modules occurring every year before the EAN Congress, so also facilitating attendance. And in case of occasional absence, 75% of attendance is required, but it can happen that due to family issues or being on call, you cannot attend, which is entirely possible. And in between the modules, there are group assignments, one reflecting thoughts about every individual module, but also a larger year assignment. And this should not take more than a few hours, including the group work and the group online meetings. And lastly, there is a personal learning portfolio required. And for this, I put myself into the position, Peter, don't procrastinate, start working on it from the beginning, and then it will actually reduce the workload at the end of the course. So overall, very well designed in terms of balance.
That's great. Did you start?
Yes.
Yes, you too, Vanessa?
Yes, I did.
That's great. And the group assignments are groups that were put together by the team, right? So you couldn't choose the group you were in, but it was mixed together. So you are together in, right?
The group composition is occurring very spontaneously, actually.
Yeah.
Not really being assigned
okay.
By the leaders.
Okay. But so are you, I assume you are, or I know that you are a very diverse group also and working with different people from different countries, right? And I think, so you mentioned, so I think this is also something about EAN, that it's not about being in one country and one culture, but in really the big Europe where different countries and cultures are meeting. And I think, Vanessa, you also had experience with that before when you were the RFS chair. So how do you perceive these different leaderships in when looking at the other participants of the leadership program? And they come from different countries. So how do you exchange there? And how is it different in the different countries? Or perhaps not, I don't know.
Surprisingly, I felt that we weren't that different, or our leadership styles were not that different. Of course, we have this big group of people who are doing the leadership program, but you get to know better your group. We have groups of 5 people. And for instance, the group for the first year, we were from very different parts of Europe. From Romania, from Turkey, from Poland, and from Italy and Portugal, of course. And I remember when we did our DISC profile, which is a questionnaire you do to understand your leading style, whether you're more goal-oriented or more people-oriented, if you're more reflective or a more active person. We had all very similar DISC profiles, which was something that was very surprising because we didn't think of ourselves as that similar people. So I think the settings we work and the countries we work in are very different, but I don't think we are that different among ourselves. At least that's my experience. And it's also an experience that I had with the junior section that globally, of course, we are a very wide group, but I think although we are from very different countries, I think our main purposes and the way we work are quite similar. But that's my experience, of course.
Yeah, I can certainly echo that. I think we are a very diverse group in terms of personalities and people, but we are struggling, I think, with similar barriers in terms of leadership. The first one is leadership readiness, taking on leadership, balancing work life, but also the challenges on the work floor in terms of conflict management, in terms of leadership styles, and in terms of changing management or driving that change. I find this an overall theme coming back.
Also, when looking at the two of you, so you're actually at different levels of your work life. Like you, Peter, are a leader of a department, and Vanessa is a PhD student but has also led already the RFS. So can you perhaps a bit tell why this is possible and what were your reasons why you applied for the course and how it is possible that these different people on actually different levels in the careers are still able to work together on leadership and learn from each other? So my question is, why did you originally apply? And it seems it worked out for you, right?
Yeah, I can answer first. So, like Anya said, I was lucky enough to be in a leadership position at a very early stage in my career. And I actually started working with the junior section when I was a third year resident. I've learned a lot from working with them, first with my peers, with people that were before me working with the junior section. And then as I took roles with more responsibility, I've learned a lot with the board members, the chairs of the committees, of the scientific panels. So I feel I was mentored and I learned by example to lead a team. But I had no formal training and I really enjoyed working with the junior section, working with the EAN, and I hope to continue doing this type of work in the future. And also, of course, I'm a PhD student, but probably in the future, we all will take positions with more responsibility. And I felt although I had this amazing informal mentoring, I felt I needed something more formal, some more structured training on this task to improve myself in the future.
Vanessa, do you have a role model?
So I had the opportunity to learn from a lot of amazing leaders in the past 7 years. But if I have to single out two people who are actually mentors to me besides role models, I would have to say Professor Elena Moro and Professor Marianne de Visser are my role models in leadership.
That's so real EAN persons, and I think so too. I think there are really people within EAN we can admire for their leadership skills. Peter, would you also want to tell our audience or us why you originally applied? Because as you're at a different level of your career?
Yeah, correct. Although I'm already in a leadership role, I felt that this course could actually make a difference for me. I wanted to embark actually or accelerate my growth path because first, you want to grow your department, which requires new skills, additional leadership skills. But I also wanted to move away from a postdoctoral researcher to be more a leader in driving grants and driving research and setting out that path in terms of research in sub-Saharan Africa. So I believe that this training could actually strengthen my current skills, but also open new possibilities in terms of new ways to approach my leadership needs and the patterns. So you know what you know, and sometimes a course can broaden your view and enhance your skills, and therefore even being advanced or in a leadership role, I think this course could actually change a lot.
Oh, thank you. That's really great to hear. I think that was really the purpose of the course. And well, we shouldn't forget that you're only halfway through, right? There will be more. So perhaps I think our time is nearly over now, but perhaps you would like to tell me and our audience what you expect from the last months, and also a bit why you, well, in some, only a few words, why you would recommend it. And yeah.
I can go first. I think a very useful workshop was the last one, which was talking to the media. Yeah, I even looked at the slides to prepare for this session. The one I'm most eager to, it's actually the March one, which is led by Professors Tuha and Professor Leonardi, which is how to implement projects in the European setting, important laws, and also stakeholder analysis. Because I think if you want to lead something, if you want to be successful leading a project or a team, you have to know your setting. You need to know who to talk to, so who are your stakeholders, what are your resources, and how can you manage all this bureaucracy. So
there is also a lot of project management actually in it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is the one I'm most eager to the March workshop.
And Peter?
What I'm looking out for is indeed that mix between leadership and management tools. So I'm really looking forward to the tools that will actually facilitate being a good leader in terms of first a framework, but then also specific practical tools that you can apply in daily life and that you can use in the way forward. And for me, I'm myself looking forward. I would like to see also this network of young leaders remaining and persisting, and that we can look back in 10 years and say, well, this is where we are now after having done this course.
Yes, that would be really great. And then you are all in our committees and also in our EAN working groups and in the EAN board. I think that's also really a goal for us to train leaders for EAN. So look forward to working with you again. Is there anything else you want to say or ask or tell our people out there?
I just want to echo what Peter said. I think one of the great parts of this experience has also been the networking, to know people that are at the same level career-wise as you, others are quite more advanced, but we started working with each other even outside the setting. And I think that we formed some amazing connections. We are working on projects together. And I think this is something that should not be neglected, because as Peter said, we'll be working together in the future.
That's great. Well, unfortunately, the time is over. I could talk to you for another hour, probably. Thank you so much, Peter and Vanessa, and looking forward really to working with you again and to seeing you at the Congress at the latest, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EANcast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.